What happens is we've got a four-part series which is called Stay Positive, and this is the last in the series, which is about being passionate. Okay, if you want an example of passionate, it was great to have David Lowe promoting his show right at the end. If you just want a little living example of passion, there he is, promoting singing and his show. I'm going to talk about passion. I'm going to talk about passion in a spiritual context. But first of all, I just want to sort of explore the word a little bit. I want to explore the word passion through a few illustrations. Okay, what was I really enthusiastic about when I was a lad? Okay, I'll tell you a few things that I was enthusiastic about, and I'm sure you're enthusiastic about them as well. The first thing I was really enthusiastic about was stamp collecting. Yes! Hands up all you stamp collectors here today. Oh, there are actually a few. Stamp collecting was, would you believe it, when I was about 15, 16, 17, was I nightclubbing? Was I going to rock concerts? No, I was stamp collecting. I was putting little bits of paper into a little sort of slot in a book, and I was collecting all these stamps. And in fact, so much so that in the run-up to my A-levels, my parents became so concerned about my stamp collecting that they confiscated my entire collection. They boxed it up and then they put it in the attic. And then they closed the attic and they locked the attic. And then I came home from school one day and I went to put some little bits of paper into my stock book and it had all gone. That's a sad story, isn't it? A very sad story. And I was actually, I hit the roof. I went absolutely ballistic. So my parents are usually quite placid and they're not usually like that, if that makes sense. And there was real conflict. But the first thing about I want to say is that passion takes time. All my energy was not going into doing my revision, as my parents had spotted, was not going into swatting, but was going into stamp collecting. Passion takes time. Okay, let's have another interest that I was into. Who was into sort of collecting records when they were a teenager? Did anyone collect records, vinyl? Yeah, when you were younger? Not many of you. Well, that was another passion of mine. Another attempt by my parents to sort me out was that I was given pocket money and I was also given a clothing allowance. In fact, the idea was to make me sort of independent and the idea was to give me a decent allowance, which I would then use to buy clothes, I'd buy sort of personal bits and pieces and whatever. And me being the responsible young man that I was, I would spend all of that money either on stamps or on records, basically. I got £4 a week, and what I would do is I would go into Kingston, and there was a couple of record shops in Kingston. There was Beggar's Banquet, I think there was a Virgin record store, and there was a little shop in Millets as well that sold really good albums at £4 a shot, and I would just blow my entire weekly allowance on a record. That is terrible, isn't it? And then I'd bring it home and I'd play it, and a consequence of that was that I'd live in rags, basically. So my clothing went really badly downhill, and I just have the sort of, you know, just old shirts and old stuff and charity shop stuff. I'd be very happy to pay 10p for something. And that scruffiness, as you may have noticed, continues to this very day. So, well done, says Celine. So that's where it comes from. If you want to know why I was scruffy, it was because I couldn't care less about clothes. I wanted to spend all my money on better things. Yeah, and so that is my second thing about passion. Passion takes resource. It takes commitment, doesn't it? And it means that you give up other stuff in order to pursue your passion. Yeah? Oh, we have a bit of a squeak, which I'm sure Simon will twiddle the knobs for. And so, passion takes resource. And it means that what you could give to something, you give to something else. Does that make sense? Yeah? Passion takes resource and sacrifice. A famous violinist was asked about why she was so good and the amount of time she took to practice and, you know, was she giving up hobbies or TV or something? And she said, no, I gave up sleep, I give up a total social life, and I even give up meals in order to practice. Yeah, and that was the sacrifice that she was willing to give up in order to pursue her passion. And a third passion when I was younger, and this will be an interesting one, was rugby. You're either into football or you're into rugby. So let's have those who are into football, put their hands up. Okay, and those who are in rugby, put your hands up. Interesting, it's roughly, for me it was rugby. It's interesting, because I do have a sort of nominal football team that I support. I support Brentford. And lots of people are coming up to me and they're really excited and they're saying, oh, Dave, isn't Brentford doing well in the Premiership? And aren't they, you know, scoring lots of goals? And didn't they beat Arsenal the other day? And I have to sort of try and share their passion. Does that make sense? Because I nominally support, you know, I feel that I have to support a football team just because, you know, everyone does. Does that make sense? And I have been to see Brentford a few times, and I feel that I can sort of support them. But actually, my real passion is rugby, I think. It's the internationals. It's the Cardiff Arms Park, as it was when I was a student in Wales. Or it's Twickenham. It's Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, or Bread of Heaven. Has anyone been to the Arms Park or the Millennium Stadium and hear the Welsh sing Bread of Heaven? It's one of the most moving experiences you can ever hear. Isn't it amazing that a rugby match is everyone sings hymns as well? I don't understand it. Why are the English singing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, yeah, which is describing Elijah's ascent to heaven, and the Welsh are singing Bread of Heaven, Feed Me Till I Can Take No More, yeah, which is about the Word of God. And so they're passionately singing Bread of Heaven, Feed Me Till I Can Take No More, yeah, while supporting a rugby team. It's utterly bizarre, isn't it? It's utterly strange. Yeah? But what is there, can you see, is the passion. Passion is about emotion. It's about emotional commitment. It's about buying into something, yeah, and being just really passionate about it. So there are three little illustrations about passion. One, it takes time. Two, it takes energy or resource or sacrifice. And three, it takes emotion. Yeah? Now, these are all small passions, aren't they? These are all small things. But actually, the all-encompassing passion for the Christian needs to be Jesus Christ. Yeah? He needs to trump all our other passions. Yeah, yes, we can have interests. Yes, we can have hobbies. Yes, we can have enthusiasms. But actually, Jesus Christ trumps all of those. Yeah? He should be the one that consumes our time. He should be the one that consumes our energy and our sacrifice, and he should be the one that consumes our emotion. Yeah, in fact, there was a famous Confederate general who fought in the American Civil War. He fought for the South, actually. His name was Stonewall Jackson. He was a cavalry commander, and he was extremely good at his job, and he basically said this, which is highly interesting. He said, there are only 2 days in a man's life when he is allowed to cry. 2 days in a man's life, because he was a tough nut, he was one of these tough guys. 2 days when a man is allowed to cry. The first day is when he loses his wife, which he did actually lose his wife. And so you're apparently allowed to cry when you lose your wife. And the second day you're allowed to cry is when you become a Christian. And he said that, and he made that really clear. He said, such is the emotion that accompanies welcoming Jesus into your life and recognizing his death on the cross and seeing the huge amount of sin that he swept away and the enormous impact that that has on you, that is an emotional experience. So he said that. Now, what I want to do is I want to look at three examples of passion in the Bible, all from the life of David. I just want to talk about them, and I want to look at them in three different areas. Yeah, passion in action, passion in worship, and passion in prayer. Yeah, passion in action, passion in worship, and passion in prayer. And can I just also just say well done to the width and breadth of contribution that we had this morning. It's lovely to see different people making contributions. Yeah, and new people making contributions as well. Well done for that. Yeah, it's just really tremendous to have. Sometimes it's just nobody. Sometimes it's sort of one or two sort of, you know, faithfuls, as it were. And sometimes we get a breadth of contribution, which is really encouraging. Can I just really encourage? Because actually, contribution means ownership. Yeah? Contribution means passion. Yeah? Contribution means I'm interested. Yeah? I'm not just a passive recipient. I'm a participant in the service. I am actively involved. Does that make sense? So let me just sort of just throw that in for free. Okay, firstly, we're going to look at passion in action. Yeah? I want to look at David. I want to look at David as he fights Goliath. We're not going to handle the whole story. We're just going to handle his speech where he talks to Goliath and basically talks about his passion. Yeah, so in 1 Samuel 17:45, he says this. He said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those who are gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle belongs to the Lord, and he will give you into our hands." When David fought Goliath, his passion wasn't victory. His passion wasn't some sort of bloodlust. His passion wasn't to conquer the enemy. His passion was for his God. His passion was for the reputation of God. His passion was basically that the Lord should have the victory. He wanted God to be honored. He wanted God to be respected. He wanted God to be restored to his rightful place. Do we want that?
Yes.
Do we want God to be restored to his rightful place in our society? Because at the moment, he's not there. Yeah, at the moment, barely 5% of this population in the UK know and love Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. Barely 5%. Yeah, that means that 95%, the vast majority of people, do not accept Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. Yeah, and that's got worse during COVID. And David had this all-consuming passion. There was the Israelite army that was afraid, that was frightened, that was scared, that was in awe of this big Goliath, that were hiding, that were quivering. And David wanted to turn the tables. He wanted to make it clear that it wasn't Goliath that was in charge, it was God that was in charge. Yeah? He had a passion for God to be put in his rightful place. And my brothers and sisters today, I want us to really think about this carefully. Do we have that same passion? Yeah, do we have that same passion to see people saved so that they will put God in the rightful place? Do we have passion to see the church restored? Do we have passion to see God's name honored and glorified and worshipped as he should be? Yeah? David had that passion, and so there's the strong urging that we should share that passion. Passion in action. And I put, as we go about our Christian service in whatever setting God has chosen for us, are we passionate to see him honored? Are we passionate to see him at work? Yeah, we sang, didn't we, about God being a way maker. Yes, are we passionate to see him making a way? Are we passionate to see him sorting out these issues? Carney mentioned them. He talked about different areas of our lives where we're not seeing breakthrough. Are we passionate to see that breakthrough? Are we passionate to see God demonstrate his ability to save, his ability to work, his ability to move? Secondly, David was passionate in worship. 2 Samuel 6:14. David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. That priestly garment was a little tunic. It was called an ephod, and it was just a little tunic. It was just a sort of, you know, just a sort of thing that was a sort of almost a long shirt, really. So David and all the people of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's horns. Significant time. The Ark of the Covenant had finally made its way back to Jerusalem. It had basically been nicked by the Philistines. They couldn't hold on to it because they'd had so much grief. It had then gone to someone's house. It had been transported in the wrong way. Someone had leant on it. They died. It had then stayed in someone else's house just outside Jerusalem for ages. Yeah, and finally David got to get it back into Jerusalem. And so he was absolutely delighted. He was passionate to see God amongst his people. Does that make sense? Because the ark was a symbol of God being present amongst his people. And so David is just so pleased that finally it's happened. Yeah. But other people weren't so pleased. In verse 16, as the ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window. She wasn't even down in the assembly. She was a looker on. She was just sort of watching from a distance, clearly not sharing the passion. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt. Yeah, how unseemly, how improper. Yeah, her obsession was not the honor of the Lord. Her obsession was, what will people think? What will people think of me? Do I have a respectable status in the community? Am I respected as the daughter of the king and the wife of a king? Yeah. For her, respectability was far more important than God's honor. And when David returned, picking up at verse 20, when David returned home to bless his own family, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. She said in disgust, "How distinguished the king of Israel looked today, shamelessly exposing himself to the servant girls like any vulgar person might do." And David retorted to Michal, "I was dancing before the Lord, who chose me above your father." There was a bit of dig in there. Whether that was necessary, I don't know. But anyway, "he chose me above your father and his family. He appointed me as the leader of Israel, the people of the Lord. And so I celebrate before the Lord. Yes, and I'm willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. And these servant girls you mentioned will think I'm distinguished." Why will they think he's distinguished? Because he's passionate about worship, passionate about God. Can I just say that worship is going to be a crucial part of our post-COVID restoration? Yeah, does that make sense? We've had a massive gap where we've not had a chance to worship. Yeah, we need to just worship our socks off. Yeah. As we come back together, we need to just be passionate in our worship. We need to be taking time to worship. We need to be just enjoying God to the full. We need to be soaking him up, much as David did. Now, we may not dance manically around the room, but if you want to, then feel free, and we won't despise you. Yeah? Listen, passion in worship is really important. Yeah, and it's just so important that we continue to be passionate in our worship and we continue to have just extended time of worship. So grateful to Carney and the team. We've got just an excellent team who love to worship, love to keep us in God's presence. Yeah, let's really be passionate about staying there, yeah, and worshiping him. And finally, passionate in prayer, which of course locks in nicely to Mike's notice. Passionate in prayer. Psalm 51:10 is just an example. Listen, David wrote so many psalms and all of them are passionate. So in a sense, I could have taken the whole book of Psalms and illustrated David's passion. But here's just a brief example. This is passion for purity. Psalm 51:10 says this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with your spirit. Then I will teach transgressors the ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." I've used the Authorized Version there because it's just got a nice sort of tone to it. Can you see the passion behind those words? Now, David had sinned pretty terribly, actually, and he'd been separated from God through murder and adultery, and he'd really, really blown it. But can you sense the passion of just wanting God not to desert him, not to leave him alone, not to just pass him by? Yeah, that sort of hooks into that whole thing about Rachel's song about, do you know what I mean, that God has plans for this place. Yeah? The temptation to think after COVID is that God has passed us by, isn't it? It's to think that God's abandoned us. is to think, oh, it's all over. This is it. That's the temptation. The temptation is to just give in to despair and gloom. Yeah. But actually, we need to have a passion that God has not finished with us and has not finished with this church and has not finished with this place. And actually, already we're seeing new people come in, we're seeing people come back, we're seeing God begin to move. Yeah, and that needs to be passionately pursued in prayer. Yeah, it needs to be passionately pursued in individual prayer. It needs to be passionately pursued in prayer on a Monday evening. It needs to be passionately pursued in prayer in our home groups. Yeah, we need to be just praying. We need to be praying for people to be saved. We need to be praying for people to come in and join us. We need to be praying for leaders to come. We need to be praying for people to join the worship team. A couple of weeks' time, we have that worship practice that Khan is leading. Yeah, we're just praying that people will come in and be part of the restoration of the church. Yeah? We need to be passionate about the restoration of Jesus Christ's church. Yeah, and we need to be really, really owning it and gripping it and saying, yes, we're in, we're pursuing it. We're pursuing it in worship. We're pursuing it in action. We're pursuing it in prayer. Yeah? And we're pursuing it in any other means at our disposal as well, whatever that might be. So, there we go. Three areas in which it's good to be passionate, yeah? In our action, in our worship, and in our prayer. Just sort of thinking up a sort of conclusion to all of this, there can be a danger that life knocks the passion out of us, yeah? That COVID has knocked the passion out of us, that setback in life has knocked back the passion in us. Perhaps the loss of a loved one, or we've lost some really loved people in this church, yeah? And that can knock our passion, can't it? Do you mean that can just be a bit of a blow and a bit of a setback, and we don't necessarily recognise it, yeah? Or stuff can happen in our lives where we feel we're up against it. And all of these things can take their toll on our passion. Disappointment. Yeah, they can all sort of eat away. Revelation 2, 4 to 5, Jesus talks to the church at Ephesus. He says this, I hold this against you. You've forsaken the love you had at first. Yeah, your initial passion, your initial love for me. I remember when I became a Christian back in age 16, 17, and there was a sort of passion, there was an enthusiasm. There was an enthusiasm in terms of personal worship, for example. I bought this terrible guitar and used to play endless times from a particular Christian book. I remember starting at A with Ascribe Greatness to Our God the Rock, and I remember trying to pick up the guitar and play that, and I was not very good at doing rhythm, so I used to do the sort of picky bits. And so I could only find songs that could do the picky bits. Does that make sense? Yeah, and Mike's a bit of a guitarist, so I hear, so perhaps we'll be learning more about his guitar skills further down the line. I couldn't resist that. So anyway, just to say, but it was not very good, and it was not very skilled, but there was a passion there. Does that make sense? There was a sort of, I was really trying to worship God to the best of my ability, given the limited resources at my disposal type thing, yeah. And there was that sort of, you know, and I also look back through some of my old sort of study notes, and I see the margins filled with commentary and comments. You know, I had these sort of navigator books, and I'd write endless notes in them, yeah, and you could see the passion behind the notes. Does that make sense? You could see the, and so, that is the question. Do you mean, have we lost our passion? Have we lost that raw enthusiasm? Have we lost that wanting to be in touch with God? And I think that it can be knocked, can't it? It can be dented. Yeah, it can be removed quite easily. And then everything just becomes, do you mean, and then it becomes a drag. And then we end up just doing the sort of 5-minute word for today where we just switch on the laptop and we quickly go and we do it in 2 minutes and our time with God is over. Yeah? And it's almost like I've done my spiritual duty. Yeah, do you mean sometimes it can get that bad, dare I say it. And God is saying, I want you to rediscover your passion. I want you to rediscover your enthusiasm for me. Yeah, Ephesus did lots of good works, but they'd forsaken their love.
And so Jesus says this to them. He says, basically, first, consider how far you've fallen. Take stock. Remember, try and work out the difference between what was going on then and what is going on now. Yeah, how were you passionate? Think about the time when you were most passionate in your faith. Yeah, just for a moment, just lock into that. When was the time when I was, it may have been when you first became a Christian, it may have been during some particular other time. Think about that time. What was going on in your life? Yeah, what was your worship like? What was your time with the Lord like? What was your prayer life like? What was going on in your life at the time when you were the most passionate for him? And this verse is saying, consider the gap and consider the difference and work out how to return to the place where you lost it almost, yeah? How do you do that? How do you go back to that place? Repent. Repent means a change of mind, metanoia. Change of mind to do the things that you did at first. Just recently, there was something about Andy Murray on the television. He plays tennis, doesn't he? And apparently he's always losing his wedding ring. Apparently he was swimming and it fell off in a swimming pool. And his physiotherapist or something went searching for this wedding ring by diving to the bottom of the pool. It was an Olympic swimming pool, and he literally just took the pool in blocks and dived down in order to, and he did finally find Andy Murray's wedding ring. Yeah? What did he do? He went back to the place where it was lost, and he put in a lot of effort to recover it. Yeah? And brothers and sisters, that may be what we need to do. Yeah? We need to recover our passion and our fire. I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us here this morning. I don't know where everyone is at. I don't know what loss everyone has experienced. Some have experienced serious loss. Some are experiencing serious setback. Some are experiencing personal trials that are just very, very painful. Some are experiencing just lethargy or tiredness. Some are experiencing just the whole grind of COVID or of work or whatever. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you may, in a sense, sweep these aside and draw us back into your presence. Draw us back into a full-on relationship with you. Full-on in worship, full-on in prayer, full-on in action. Lord, whatever Goliaths you have put in front of us, Lord, you want to see them overcome. Lord, I pray that you would just give us such a passion for these things. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, help us. We're going to have a bit of worship, is that right? So if you'd like to come up. But one intriguing thing that I've learned is another word for passion is enthusiasm. It's a good word, a good fine English word. Yeah? Have you ever considered the source of the word enthusiasm? I'll tell you the source. En means in, and theos means God. So whenever someone says that they're enthusiastic about someone, the real English meaning of that word is they're in God. Have you thought about that? Isn't that amazing? I never knew that. I thought, isn't that staggering? When we talk about someone's enthusiastic, we say that what we're really saying is they are in God. Yeah? And there is truth in that. Can I just say to you, the only way that you and I will ever find real enthusiasm in life, especially at some of our advanced years, yes, is to be in God. No other way. All other enthusiasms will be fake, they'll be shallow, they'll be rubbish compared to the entheos of being in God. Isn't it great that the English language should remind us of that? So every time you hear the word enthusiasm, yeah, think, am I entheos? Yes? Because that's the way you'll find it. Let's worship.